Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, praise team. And everybody's already seated. Praise God. I think we're supposed to say happy birthday to Richard, right? Is today today? Man of God, we do appreciate him so much. It is definitely nice to have the tunes tinkling to help us worship God. It's better than when we just all make a noise. It's nice to make a noise with some nice music over it, isn't it? And man, Rich's birthday is in February. My birthday is also in February. And I was talking to my wife the other day, and I was like, man, she said, you're about to be 46, aren't you? I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I was in the mirror, man, looking at my head, and I was like, And I was like, what is this white stuff in my hair? I remember I came to this church. I was in my 20s, man. And I'm losing it. I'm going to be distinguished. Brian has a nice white growing along the sides. He's all distinguished. I'm like, that's salt and pepper. I mean, mine's not salt and pepper unless you crack the salt and pepper shake and just threw it out there. You know, I got some white everywhere, man. So anyway, things are changing as we grow old, but God renews our strength. Amen. And we are continually being renewed in him, being strengthened in him. Today, I just have a few thoughts to share. I'm not going to try to keep you long. And amen. My topic of conversation will be basically kind of introduction to representing God's kingdom. I want to just hit a little bit about the kingdom and then focusing on representing that kingdom. And then we will be done for today. I want to thank those of you who are joining us online by live stream. As we continue this, Father, we do thank you for the word. We thank you for your spirit, and we thank you for the spirit of revelation, that spirit that comes and reveals the milk of the word to us. Lord, we thank you for the principles of your word that you plant in us that enables us to plant our feet in the ground and walk forward steadily in your purposes and in your plan. We do say that your kingdom come, and your will be done in the earth. Glorify your name, Lord. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. All right, the first thing that I want to share, I want to start with, is that the kingdom of God is important to God. Sometimes as we go about in life, we can kind of lose focus. Or just starting out in life, people sometimes have questions about what is it I'm supposed to be doing. Or you can have a pursuit that you're going on, and then you can get distracted into some other things. When you're establishing a company, you want to make sure that you have your goal and your vision is projected throughout the company so that you're going in the same direction. Same way in the kingdom of God, we want to make sure that as we are pursuing life, that as we are going forward in life, that we are holding to the values and the principles of God. And one of the things that we should know is that the thing that is most important to God is the kingdom. And as you go through, one of the things that Pastor had us studying on and going over was the kingdom of God. And as I did that and started to go back through the scriptures, there are some kingdom things that I didn't recognize before that popped out, and you'll recognize those things. The first one in the most obvious verse, which actually talks about the kingdom, puts it out there, is Matthew 6, 33, which you know says, seek the kingdom of God, right? Seek the kingdom, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But the thing that's important there is it said the first thing, or the thing of most importance, is to seek his kingdom, to seek his purposes, to seek his thoughts, to seek his precepts. That's just like saying, if I'm going to get into middle school, I first have to go to elementary. Well, first go to elementary, right? That's the first thing you need to do. If I'm going to ride my bike, well, first go get those training wheels. There's some precepts that you have to get before you go on to other things. And so here in the scripture, which was a surprise, was not necessarily a surprise, but as I walk back through, you see this priority of the kingdom being placed out there. The first thing you're supposed to do is seek the kingdom. Now let's see it again in a different verse, in the same chapter, different verse, but Jesus still puts it out there, but you forget it. Going back in Matthew 6 to the 10th verse, were the disciples of the Lord teach us to pray like you. They were probably around and they heard him praying. And his pastor taught us this is not the Lord's prayer. This is the disciples' prayer because it's the prayer that he taught them to pray. Right? Well, we call it the Lord's prayer. But right within this prayer where he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed is your name." And he praises God. He starts that off. He starts right in there saying, "Thy kingdom come." Right at the beginning of this prayer, this entreating of God is, "Thy kingdom come." Not, "Father, forgive me for my sins," or "forgive us our debtors as we forgive those who trespass against us." Doesn't start with that. Doesn't start with provision. "Thank you for my daily bread," or "thank you for my bread." Doesn't start with provision. The thing that he starts out with is, "Thy kingdom come. I will be done on earth just like it is." Again, first, foremost, and then he ends the prayer. It's bookended. Remember how the disciples' prayer ends? "For thine is the kingdom." That's important, right? Again, now we can go throughout the scriptures and we can talk about the crucifixion, which gets talked about every time we come to resurrection season, right? They talk about the crucifixion, the Lord coming, the Lord being crucified, the Lord being raised from the dead. And we can get into different movements. We can get into the movement of the Holy Spirit. We can get into the movement of prosperity and all those things. But the focus of God's thoughts throughout anything should be the focus of the kingdom. It's important. The Lord wants his kingdom to permeate the earth. Now, I'm going to draw something so we can think about it from something Ken said when he said, "Well, what is the kingdom?" Because that's the thought we should ask, right? When he says, seek first the kingdom. And God. Well, Ken's definition, which I liked, was the exalted and perfect order of things that exist in heaven. Now, I just like it because it says the exalted and the perfect order. But if you look at it, it is the order or the establishment that God put forth. And that is what we want reflected in the earth. Now, why should we seek the kingdom? This is my second part. If the kingdom is important, why should we seek the kingdom? Well, the plain and simple reason is because it was lost. All right? Go back to Genesis chapter 1:3. I'm going to try to walk through it. Again, these are just thoughts that I have. So you might have to go back home and think through these, all right? But the first thing we have in Genesis chapter 1 is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, anytime you have a kingdom, you have to have a king and then the domain that he rules over, which is in the kingdom. Now, what we see here is as God begins to create, he establishes himself as a ruler. One of the aspects of God is that he is a ruler, and there's a domain that he rules over. Psalms 115:3. Just jump through real fast, and then we're gonna jump back as I lay out this thought. Psalms 115, verse 3, reads like this. Very simple verse. It says, "But our God is in the heaven, and he does whatever he pleases." Now, this is not talking back to your mom. "I'm going to do whatever I want." This is the establishment of God, God's character and his nature. He sits in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. He is a ruler. Yes, he is our Redeemer. Through Christ, he redeems us. He is our Savior. He is the Lord of righteousness. He is the many-breasted one. He is the God of provision. But one of the major aspects of our Lord is that he is a ruler. Now, why is this important? Now, when you go back to Genesis 1, 27 and 28, you're going to see why this is important. Because our God is a ruler. Now, watch what he says here in 27 and 28. God created man in his own image, in his own essence, in his own nature. Again, what's one of the major factors of our God? What is his nature? His nature is that he is a ruler. Now, he's also a creator. Ken, I think it was Ken or it was Brian that talked about, well, God is the creator, and that creative nature is within us. But here we see God as a ruler, and then he creates man in his own image. This is in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it." Purpose. Not only did he create man, but then he also established purpose for the man that he created. He creates man, and he already created the earth, and he said, "Now, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over it." It says, see the birds of the air and things like that. But you see him creating, and then he giving him order, and the order is to rule. Now, who's the first person to rule? The first person to rule that we know of was God. God is a ruler, and then he created man in his own image, and so he created man as a ruler. Now, the problem is, if God is a ruler and he rules in the heavens, and he creates man as a ruler, can the man that is a ruler exist with the God that is a ruler in his domain? The answer is no. If God rules the heavens, man cannot be in the heavens and rule, right? Because God rules the heavens. What does God do, though? He established an earth. He established a domain for man to rule. Now, remember what Jesus' prayer was. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Now, what we see here is God establishing a kingdom, then establishing another domain, and then within that domain, placing a representative ruler to rule just as he would rule. Back in the other day, they would call this colonization, where you would have a country and they would send out people, and then the purpose of those people were to go and establish a domain that looks similar to the original place where they came from. Rome was great at doing this, right? So if you had a secondary ruler in that place, distinct from the king or ruler, his job was to make sure this person's rule was reflected in the domain in which he lived. So what we have here is God in the heavens, doing as he pleases, establishing a secondary domain, putting his representative in that domain, and then telling him to reflect his design, to reflect his thoughts, and to reflect his purposes in that domain. Now, what happens when Adam rebels against God? What's the penalty for treason? It's death. Look at this. Look how important this is. When Adam rebels against God, when he first was created, he was one with God. The Bible said God came and to walk in the cool of the garden, and then was surprised, that Adam, where are you? Because he had not presented himself. They were already disconnected. Now, did God know where he was? Well, sure, he's all-knowing. But the declaration of Adam, where are you, is significant in that it recognizes that the connection between the creator and the created one was lost. Now, that's just not the lost relationship there, but at this point, it's significant because God's representative in the earth is now gone. The kingdom influence that's supposed to be in the earth has now been removed, right? We see that. We see that when Adam gives birth to Cain and Abel, and then Cain slays Abel. That is not the nature of the Father, but a different influence that has come into the earth. We see that later on, much, much later on, when God delivers Egypt from Israel. Egypt from Israel. When God delivers Israel from Egypt, they get out in the wilderness, and then what do they tell Aaron to do? I want you to make this image. Why? Because they saw that the other nations, including Egypt, had these images to represent their God. That's what they were doing. Well, what were those other nations doing? What they were trying to do was to make up for themselves a representative of a kingdom that they were not familiar with. That was their own version. God said, you make for yourselves gods that cannot see and gods that cannot talk. That was their attempts at establishing the kingdom, and that's what the Israelites were reflecting. But what you see here is that the image of God's kingdom, or the representation of God's kingdom, has been removed from the earth, except for the remnant that God kept. We know God kept the remnant to keep his mind, his mindset or his thoughts in the earth, but as far as the representation of the kingdom had been removed. And so the first thing that happens when Jesus comes into the earth is now the reflection of God's kingdom is back in the earth, right? He says, you say to do it this way, but I say. But he starts telling them, no, this is how the kingdom should be represented. So again, God creates. He creates a ruler. The ruler is to reflect God's rule into the earth. The relationship between God, the ruler, and his under-ruler is broken. The thoughts and images of God are lost, and they don't get restored until Jesus comes back into the earth. So, first thing Jesus says is seek the kingdom, because now it's been made available to him. Let's look at some of those thoughts there, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. Which is why God said the kingdom is supposed to be revealed through his representatives. So when it wasn't just delivering people and saving people, it was God reintroducing his kingdom back into the earth. John 14:9. Again, just a few thoughts that I have. John 14:9. Jesus said to him, Eight. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Now, what is he saying here? One of the important things about kingdom, king and kingdom, is that a kingdom is a representation of the king. If there is a king, then his kingdom reflects him. So when Jesus was telling his disciples, he said, well, show us the Father. What he was saying to him was, show us that kingdom. If you see the Father, then you see the kingdom. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father, which means you see the kingdom. So again, this is just proving that when Jesus entered into the earth, he was reintroducing the kingdom back into the earth. Let's look at Jesus' declaration and another thing, and then you'll see that come out. John 17:3. Watch this. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Again, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you know the Father, you're getting to know the kingdom or eternal life, which is knowing the Father. Verse 4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Again, he glorified and he exalted the Father, which also represents the kingdom in the earth. Again, when Jesus came into the earth, he was reintroducing God's kingdom back into the earth. Now, I'll finish out. Glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which I sent for you. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, which was the establishment of the kingdom. Again, he's speaking this out there. We don't understand this, but then when you look at it in the mindset of kingdom, this is all kingdom talk. This is all kingdom talk. Now, going to the next thing here is that Jesus revealed that God's kingdom would be revealed through his people. Watch. Luke 11:20-21. Luke 11:20-21, the Pharisees are going to try to trip him up and, trick him into saying something so they can crucify him, or not crucify him because that was the Romans' penalty of death, but try to get rid of Jesus. So look at this question here, Luke 20:21, and then let's see what it reveals. Luke 11:20-21. It's a little autocorrect. Wait a minute, is that right? Hold on. Luke 11:20. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's great, but that's not what I was trying to show. Uh-oh. Now I got to go to Luke 20. Then proceed to send them to a slave. Nope. All right. I just got to say what I was talking about. All right. The Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, how will the kingdom come, or something like that. But Jesus' response to them is that the kingdom of God will not come with observation. And the reason why is because the kingdom of God was to be established in the hearts of the believers. And the believers themselves would go out and begin to establish that same heart in other believers. So it wasn't going to be the typical, you have a king and there's a big procession and there's a change in leadership and things like that, which what the Pharisees were trying to get, Jesus to declare. Well, this is, if you're the king, if you are the Messiah, then you need to come in the way of David. But Jesus' response to them, which is the point that I was trying to get to, was he said, look, The kingdom of God is not going to come with observation. The reason why is because you're not going to get the pomp and circumstance that we're going to get in Revelations, where you hear the new city Jerusalem coming out of the heavens and all of that. What you're going to get is the establishment of God's kingdom in the heart of believers. Why is that, person? Because it means it becomes incumbent upon us to make sure that the kingdom is reflected in the earth. That's why Jesus said, hey, glorify me with the glory that you gave me before, but that glory is placed within us to be revealed to the world. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth, just like it is in heaven. Well, how is that going to be on the earth, just like it is in heaven? Because his believers are in the earth like Christ is in the heavens. So if it's going to be revealed in the earth, it's going to be revealed through us, which gives us to 2 Corinthians 5:20. And I'll have to go look that verse up. 2 Corinthians 5:20, where Paul boldly declares, well, where's my 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Key points there. Therefore, we are ambassadors. We are God's representatives, as though God were making an appeal through us. How's the appeal to be made? Is it to be made from the heavens? A voice speaking into the earth, declaring, this is my son, which he did before, right, when he was baptized? No, that's not going to be the way. If the kingdom is going to be revealed, it's going to be revealed through you. It's going to be revealed through me. Why is that important? Because the challenge for the believer is to make sure they don't stifle the expression of God within themselves. Because when you go into whatever sphere you go into, whether you're getting up to go to work in the morning or you're getting up to go to the classroom today, wherever you go, you are an ambassador or a representative of a kingdom. You don't just represent yourself. Again, the challenge, and Jesus knew, he said, hey, you are blessed when men persecute you for my sake, because that's what they did to me. He had to get them to the mindset that that is not a curse, because persecution stifles people. Nobody wants to go through persecution. Of course, we're not really experiencing that in a holistic sense in the United States, because we can do kind of whatever we want to here in this nation. And that is a little different if you go to a communist country, or like China or something like that, where you actually, it would be against the law to declare Christianity or something like that. We're not in that time right now, so we don't really deal with that. But you can go somewhere and then you may be embarrassed to talk about God, right? Because, well, I don't necessarily want people to know I'm a Christian. No, poppycock. People should know that you are a believer, right? You start because you know that, well, if I act like I'm a Christian, then some people might not like me. Well, that's the point. Because God says, well, you know, to people who are getting saved, the very fact that you behave as a believer, you represent God, you will be a sweet-smelling fragrance to them because you're meant to attract them. But to those who are rejecting God, you're not a sweet-smelling aroma. Right? They feel judged and they reject you. That's just built in. But what you should know, that's not necessarily on you, unless you have a nasty attitude. That ain't got nothing to do with God, though. If you are nasty to people, then you're kind of bringing your own persecution there. But what God intended for us to do is to be set apart and to be different, so that those that are in the dark are going to be drawn to the light. But that's a kingdom representative. The thing we have to do is get in the mindset of, no matter where I go, no matter what I do, I have to represent God. Now, what do representatives do? One of the things that representatives do is they check with the home country. Matthew 6:30, first seek the kingdom of God. Watch this. Whenever an ambassador goes into another country, the only thing that ambassador is allowed to project are the thoughts and the intention of his host country. If you go to that ambassador and let's say they come in and say, hey, Richard, what is your opinion on homosexuality? Richard cannot just say, you know what, I think all homosexuals should be blue. No, his thought should be, our country's position on homosexuality is that that behavior is not approved by our Lord. What he should be doing is reflecting to whomever is asking what are the thoughts and intentions of the kingdom that he represents. Have no bearing on what his thoughts are on the matter at all. Because he does not represent himself. Likewise, whenever we go anywhere, and I don't care where it is, and you often find ambassadors in social situations, they have to remember that their job is all times is to represent the country where they are from, in a country that where they are strangers. That's our job. So again, one of the main things, and you see that in Seek the Kingdom First, Colossians 3, this is going to be kingdom talk. Again, I didn't recognize that at first, but when I went back through it with that understanding, you see it here, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, if we have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things which are above. He's telling them to be mindful of your host kingdom. Keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Again, a point back to the host country. Just remind you of that. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. What is he saying? He's saying, do not get distracted by the policies and the behaviors that are around you. Why? You are not from that place. It is important that you self-discipline yourself to keep from being distracted from those things around you. You don't want to be infected by those thoughts and those ideals. You must make sure that you represent the thoughts and the ideals of the host country. I'm just trying to show you that when he's talking here in Colossians 3, this is kingdom talk. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When that kingdom comes, then everybody's going to see this kingdom that you were talking about, this kingdom that you were representing. When that kingdom appears, then you will be there in all your glory. But for now, be mindful of the place from which you come, because you represent another kingdom. Just want to show you the kingdom. Again, one of our responsibilities is to live disciplined lives, and to be mindful that we represent God. What? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Again, I didn't look at this before when I read it, but again, with the mindset of the kingdom, you see that this is kingdom talk here. Now, this is kind of in the sex chapter or whatever, but 6, 19 and 20 says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Now, key verse there, you are not your own. That's kingdom talk. Because when you're in another country, he's saying you cannot live for yourself. Luke 17, 20 to 21. That's the verse I was trying to remind you guys of earlier. Thank you, Pastor. My pastor is good to me. Get Luke 17 out of your mind. Your body is not your own. That's kingdom talk. That's telling the ambassador, you cannot live for yourself. Now, if you are an ambassador for another kingdom, you know, guess what? You have an all-expense-paid life. They will buy your house. They will purchase your clothes. They will purchase your vehicles. You are provided for. But your goal is not to live for yourself. See, your body is not your own. Now, this should be dealt with. I'll read the next one, and you see it's not just a corporate thing; it's a personal thing. 1 Peter 1 and 17. 1 Peter 1 and 17. Wait a minute, is that right? I better not have did it again. Hold on. 1 Peter 1, 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear. There it is. That is the kingdom talk. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Now, know what he's saying in a nutshell? He's saying live a disciplined, controlled life. You can't just live any way you want to. Remember Paul says that in a different way? He says, hey, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. This is kingdom talk. He said, an ambassador cannot just do whatever they want to do. They have to be mindful of how this affects the host country. Now, let me show it to you personally. Let's say a ambassador goes out and they meet this nice, fine chick. Oh, my gosh. What an amazing person as far as how they look. I think we should be joined. The ambassador must remind himself, what will happen to the kingdom if I make this union? Will this be a good match? Because that marriage has a reflection on the kingdom. I'll prove it to you. I will prove it to you. Currently, our president, Donald Trump, is facing a little heat because it has been revealed, or they're trying to put out there, that he had a relationship with a porn star or whatever while he was married. Now, me and my wife was talking about this earlier. There was an event that he and his wife showed up to. And he got out, the first one, he got out the car, and then he went around, and he didn't get her out the car, and he just took off. And she got out the car, and she was not happy about it. And she's walking up, and he tries to hold her hand, and she slaps his hand away. What do you think happened with his opponents? They said, look at that marriage in shambles. That is a reflection of poor leadership. That union even though it's a union, it's not the presidency, right? They didn't get married with the thought of this is going to affect the nation. However, now their relationship is in the public, and any type of bad behavior is a poor reflection on the nation. Not just them, the nation. So personally, when we go to make a decision, what does the scripture say? We want to make sure that we acknowledge God in all our ways. Why? That stuff is a reflection on the kingdom. That's why it says don't be unequally yoked, because it's a reflection, or it should be a reflection, on the kingdom. It is an amazing thing that Pastor Jim and Sister Lou have been together for so long. Why? It's a reflection of God's relationship with his church. That's something that can be modeled. It's amazing how Richard treats his wife. It's a reflection of how God intends to teach the church. But when we have a world where 50% of the marriages are divided, that is an incredible asset to bring to somebody. How did you do that? Anybody knows you're in a marriage, there are times where there is not going to be peace. How do you work through that? I was loving for the wisdom that Pastor would share with me and how to stay with my wife. I said, John, make sure she doesn't know this other stuff. No, that was not his wisdom. No, but there is wisdom in God in what true love is all about. If you don't have anything else and that is all you have, you can speak to half our nation. But that should be that should reflect our kingdom. Why are you having sex in marriage, man? Well, we do work at it, but the principles that I learned from my God put us in this place. They teach us forgiveness. They show us what real love is, and it should be a reflection of the kingdom. You can get another stuff when you choose to do your jobs. And God wants the kingdom reflected in your job. You happen to be a boss. There are scriptures that say, look, your boss, don't treat your workers unjustly. Don't lord over them. Don't, you know, because you're a reflection of the kingdom. If you're a worker, be a worker like you're working for God. Why? Because you represent the kingdom. If God was here working for you, this is what it would look like. But if you forget that, it's a poor reflection on the kingdom. I was supposed to be a Christian, I thought. I know I never want to hire a Christian because those people are lazy. I was talking about they got to go to church and they studying when they should be working. No. I mean, I'm just talking about personal things. There are corporate things that are out there that we know are a reflection of the kingdom. But again, wherever we are, it should be a representation. Remember, we are a representation of the kingdom. Be ever mindful. Again, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Give you another example of how those individual things reflect poorly on the kingdom. When the Olympics was in Brazil, and you had the swimmer Ryan Lochte. Remember this? Ryan Lochte goes up there and he swims and everything's all lovely. And Ryan and his friend decide to go out partying. I'm pretty sure that's what they did. They came away from the party, went to this gas station, and practically terrorized this owner of this gas station. Right? Now, the issue was they were drunk. That's why he didn't remember. He told people, hey, we got robbed, we got mugged, and this owner tried to extort us, came out, they didn't get robbed, and, you know, they tore up this dude's store and made bad demands. It was all bad. Now, generally, if that happened separate from the Olympics, it would simply be a story for TMZ. You know? It would just show up in TMZ and be gone. You know, and now, you know, some of your local stations have that segment in their news story because TMZ is popular. So they say, all right, we got to put something like that in there. But other than that, it would be reserved for tabloids. But because Ryan Lochte was a representative of the United States, he was an ambassador, that was an international incident. Why? Because he was representing something that was more than just himself. Now, could he go out and drink until he couldn't remember stuff? Yeah, he could, but it was not beneficial for who he was because he was an ambassador at the time. See what I'm saying? So as we go out to do our daily things, as well as our Christian thing, it is important to remember we're not our own. We are representing the kingdom of God in everything, whether it's marriage, whether it's in raising our kids, whether it's in working for somebody or running our business, we represent a kingdom. All right, live disciplined lives. You saw that. 1 Peter 1:17, last part, which again is the most important part, not the most important part, but I want to be mindful of because sometimes we can leave it. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 5:20, which again was Paul's intent here, says we're ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. I want to make that part important here because sometimes we leave that off. Anytime when me and my wife, we went to go exercise at the Clay Madison around our area, we were doing this exercising and there was a guy that he would come in there same time we were. And my first immediate thought was, because he was standing out to me, man, I wonder if God wants to meet this guy, right? Because even though we were in there to exercise, my mindset or my thought process was, okay, I always have to be open to God wants to do something through me. Why? Because I'm his representative. Wasn't just there exercise, even though our goal was to go exercise. That's not my only reason for being. Okay. Sometimes we go out where, again, it's at work or we're just out hanging out with the family or whatever. We forget that part that, man, okay, I'm here representing the kingdom. God may have me conduct kingdom business. Give me another example. I was walking through the park over there in between Brazos and Red River, I think. I forgot what they call that park over there. But say it again. Little Stacy. All right. So walking through Little Stacy, right? And I used to have a shirt that had a big X, and it was black. It had a big X on it. And then below it, it said Center. X Center. Which, no, we're not X Centers. But anyway, I like the shirt because big X Center. So anyway, but I was walking through all you could really see was the X. You had to really look at it to see the center. And I walked by this couple. They were on the bench in the park. And so the guy looked at me, and I know what he thought. He saw the big X. Black shirt, oh, that brother's a Muslim, you know. But this is what I was impressed by. He got up from his seat, brought his girl with him, said, hey, can I talk to you for a second? I said, sure, because I was in the joy of the Lord. And he said, hey, you know, I just wanted to share with you the love of God, you know, which is greater than Islam. So I covered up the bottom of my shirt. I just wanted to see where it would go. And he began to minister to me out of love about Jesus, you know, and say, you know, I just want you to know that. And I said, well, thank you. I never told him I was a Christian. I said, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And he said, all right. And him, because he actually interrupted his time with he and his spouse to come and minister to me. They were in the park. He was trying to kiss her. I saw her. But he didn't want to miss that moment. Always in the mindset of we have to be about imploring people to be reconciled to God. Again, it was his own time, but he was not his own. So you see what I'm trying to get at? No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we must always be mindful that we are ambassadors of another kingdom. This is not our place. We can't get caught up in the politics. You know, whether you want to be a Democrat or you want to be a Republican, our main thing is we are believers. And no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, God intends for us to represent the kingdom, to reflect his kingdom thoughts, his kingdom purposes, which we decree in the earth, so that they will see him, they will know him, it will be impacted by him well in advance of him getting here, all right? Those are God's purposes for us. Amen? Amen. All right, Richard, I'm done. You can come on up.
Amen. There's never a time that we're not representatives of the kingdom. Even when you're by yourself, we need to be controlling what we're thinking, always thinking, what did it say? Put your thought or keep your thoughts on things above. Set your mind on things above. So even when we're just by ourselves driving in the car or sitting at home, keep your mind on the kingdom, because we are never not a representative. Good word, brother. Good word. Well, if you were blessed, pull out some green stuff. And there's a basket up here. We're going to bless Brother John and take care of him. Stand with us. Been listening to a minister through a CD, and when he gets through with his messages, he always says, stand to your feet, or stand on your feet. And I said, well, how else are you going to stand? So, anyway, that's one of those non-kingdom things right there. See, I let that slip in. But anyway, let's just praise God for a few minutes and allow his word to be watered. It's been planted. Now let's water it. Get it covered over real good so that it'll take root and grow. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Father, that your word has been delivered. We thank you, Father God, that we have heard through the Spirit what you were saying and what you intended for us to receive tonight. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us the truth, even as we begin meditating and you bring these words back to our hearts, Father. I thank you that you are changing us, and that the fruit of this word will be produced, and we will go forth every day in every way as representatives, conscious representatives of the kingdom of God, of your kingdom, Father God, because it is all about you. It is all about your glory. It is all about your will, your plan, and your purpose. And we thank you, Father God, that you are being exalted in our lives, in the things that we do, the things that the places that we go, you are being exalted. And we thank you for that, Father. We bless your name. We bless your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we lift up and thank you for our pastors, for Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. We celebrate and rejoice in the physical manifestation of your word as healed of the Lord, healed of the Lord. And we thank you and celebrate that, Father God. We thank you for renewed strength daily, that as they wait on you, Father God, that you renew their strength and they mount up with wings as eagles to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. And we thank you, Father God, that they are daily being raised up in strength and in vitality and in peace and in rest. And we thank you for that, Father. We celebrate divine health, divine life, and divine peace and blessings. Father God, everything they put their hands to is prosperous, and everywhere they go, they are surrounded with your favor, with your provision, and with your love. And we give glory and honor and praise to you, Father. And Father, I lift up this people and I cover them with the name and the blood of our Redeemer so that they go forth from this place covered. And I thank you, Lord, that you surround them with favor and you go before them preparing the way, and that you have already made the ways that they should go, for the ways of blessing, the ways of your kingdom, Father God, so that in all their ways that they are prosperous and they are successful, Father God. Thank you that your word is being planted in their hearts and they are receiving, they are growing, and we celebrate and rejoice in you this night, Father. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I call you the kingdom of God manifesting all over the place. Hallelujah. We'll see you on Sunday. Come back with a bunch of other people.